Okay, so we're just continuing our discussion about humility. And we're in chapter 22 of Mesilat Yesharim, of the Path of the Just. And here he discusses different issues that the Torah emphasizes. So number one is, the Gemara says in Sota, Kama gdolim nemuchei haruach. How great are those who are low. People with low spirits, humble people. How great are humble people? Why? The time of the temple, a person brings different kinds of sacrifices. Each one has to bring a separate sacrifice. But a person who is low in spirit, it's as if Hashem says, as if he brought all the sacrifices. So normally you go to the temple and you bring one sacrifice at a time. A person who is low in spirit is as if he brought all the sacrifices. As it says, the sacrifice of God is a low spirit, a broken spirit. So that's a praise of all those who have low spirits. Amrod, furthermore, they said, Lo merubachem b'cholamim. The Torah says, at the end, in chapter 7 of Devarim, Hashem says, I didn't choose you because you are the most people. I didn't choose you because you are the greatest of nations. Hashem didn't choose the Jewish people because they're the greatest of nations. I chose you because you are the smallest of the nations. We're still today, if you look at the encyclopedia, the world's great religions, like a joke. Yeah, Christianity, 1.5 billion. Islam, 1.3 billion. Buddhism, another one, how many billions? And Hindus, another how many billions? Jews? 12 million. Great religions over the world. So what great religion are we in the world? And the answer is Hashem chose us not because we're great in numbers, because we're humble. That's the main thing, to be humble. In other words, we're smallest in numbers, which implies humility. How can Jews become proud when we're the smallest in numbers? It's amazing how we're still around today. So to be small in numbers gives us a little bit of incentive to be a little bit humble. And we make ourselves small in front of God. So Hashem says, I gave greatness to Avraham Avinu, to Abraham. And what does Abraham say? I am dust and ashes. Hashem gave greatness to Abraham. And what does Abraham say? I'm dust and ashes. In other words, he left himself, he was still humble. With all the greatness, he was a multimillionaire, Avraham Avinu. And yet he was still humble. I gave greatness to Moshe and Aaron, to Moses and Aaron. What do they say in the Torah? In chapter 16 of Exodus, they say, What are we? I gave greatness to King David. And King David says in Psalm 22, I am a worm and not a man. So you see, God gave greatness to people. So some people went to the heads. How great to go to the heads. Was the opposite. They felt more humble after they got. Because they know where they're getting it from. You know, it's not theirs. Hashem helped them. Otherwise, without Hashem's help, we're going to get it. So therefore, they realize that it's not coming from them, and therefore, they're not getting proud. We're in chapter 22. So a person should not be thinking in their heart that all this came to me because I'm the greatest. No, contrary. It's enough the fact that we are human beings. Right? It's a fact. You know, it says Chovat Levavot says something very morbid. He says every time a person goes to the bathroom, it should be to increase their humility. Off all the lights in the social hall.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, please. So, Hashem says that normally, the more I give people, the more big-headed they get. The Jewish people, the opposite. The more I give them, the smaller they get. The great, especially the greats, Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, David, all the great leaders. Thank you. All the great leaders. The more they got, the less, the more humble they were. Interesting, more humble they were. And even when a person does a lot of mitzvot, it shouldn't go to his head. Who am I? I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest tzaddik in the world. Yeah, that's the opposite of a tzaddik. If you go to a real tzaddik, you'll see they're very, very humble. Very, very humble. And that's how you measure a tzaddik. A tzaddik is the humility of the person. And even if we only have a person who has one mistake, the fact is he's a human being. That's enough to being a human being, right? Human being is already low level, right? We eat, drink, and sleep, basically. Eat, drink, and sleep. So what's the point of getting proud? We shouldn't get proud, right? Everything that we get is kindness from God, who gives us a free gift. So therefore, a person should only praise the one who gave him the gifts. Okay. So, for example, a person who gets a poor man who go and gets a staka, it's impossible for that person not to get ashamed, embarrassed. And whatever more staka he gets, the more embarrassing he should get, because he's getting more chesed, he's getting more kindness. Similarly, we should, if we were awake, we would say, you know, the more we get, the more humble we have to be in front of God. We're getting more kindness from God. We owe God more. It's like a favor. Hashem's doing us a favor. So it's interesting because we think the other way around. The more we're getting, it must be because I'm great. Hashem's giving because I'm great. So it increases our ego. It should be the opposite. The more we get, the more we should feel that who are we? Hashem is giving us everything, and we owe Hashem more favors and more debt. We're more in debt. We're more indebted to Hashem every day.
But it's never like
that. Huh?
But it's never like
that. That's why we have to learn about it. That's why we learn in the book. That's why a person has to learn Musar, otherwise it goes to the head. Right? So a person has 5 houses, 10 houses, it goes to the head. And it's very hard. So sometimes it's better. I'm not saying it's better. Let's not say it's better. But sometimes the test of riches is harder than the test of poverty. The test of poverty doesn't go to the head. It's a different test completely. The test of poverty is when a person steal, rob, cheat, because he doesn't have enough. The test of riches is, do you think it's because of you or because Hashem gave you? That's a big test. It's a big test. So a person should not say, it's because of me. I'm so great. I'm the greatest. However, all this is what we learn from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, and Aaron, and David. The more they got, the more they felt indebted. The more they felt small. The truth is, we don't even think about it. We just think about all our flaws. The trouble is, we don't think enough about flaws. We go crazy if we think about the flaws. Right? Who are we to get proud when we look at our flaws? Yeah, we get angry, we get jealous, we get this, we have other desires we can't control. So who are we to get proud? So we are the students of the students of the previous generations. They, you can say, they would get proud, and therefore they said, I'm dust and ashes, you know. They worked on themselves. But we don't even have that problem. Why? We don't have to work on ourselves. It's so obvious. It's so blatant that we're useless. It's so blatant. In other words, we have these desires we can't control. We have these propensities we can't control. We have bad midot and we can't control it. And so who are we to get proud even? So he says all this is to do with humility in the head. The truth is the main humility is in the head. But we know there's manifestations as well that we have to practice. And sometimes through the manifestations, the actions that we do, we become humble. So there's two issues over here. One is the inside humility, and one is the outside humility. But sometimes a person has the intellect, he doesn't have the inside humility. So what does he have to do? He has to work on the outside humility, which will impress him on the inside, hopefully. Let's see. Number one. So what is, now we come to exterior humility. Actions of humility. Number one. Hitnaheg b'shiflut. A person should act with humility. Which implies the way he speaks to people, the way he walks, even the way he sits, and all his actions. Okay, so we're going to go into details now. The way a person speaks. The rabbi said, "Yolam yehi dibro shel adam benachat im abriyot." A person should speak nicely, sweetly with the people. Right. So a person with pride will say, snap at people, and shout at people, and scream. You know, get out of my way, move away, do this, do that. A person who has humility will speak nicely. Excuse me, sir, would you like to do this? Right, so speak gently and sweetly and softly. And this is a pasuk in Kohelet, Divrei Hachamim Benachat Nishmaim. Wise people's voice are listened to Benachat. How do you translate Nachat?
Comfort.
Comfort. Well, pleasantness. Low. Nacht. Pleasurable. So pleasurable. You know, there was one of the chief rabbis of Israel. It was a real pain. Why? Could he hardly hear him? Rabbi Bakshi Doron, with his classes, like he whispers. Just like this. So even though you're speaking to a big community, without a microphone, even with a microphone, you could barely, you had to strain yourself. But you know what? There's a pin drop in the hall. Everyone was quiet because they're trying to hear what he's saying. But he would always speak gently, softly. But he wouldn't scream and shout and yell. So that's a sign of a person of humility. That's a sign of humility. So a person's speech should be words of honor and not words of disgrace. So it says a person who disgraces his friend is missing a heart. Something missing from their heart. So it's very important to speak nice words, gently, sweetly to people. Even though you want to rebuke people, don't knock them out. Don't scream at them and curse at them and shout at them and call them names. Right? So speak gently and sweetly, and normally that's the way people are going to listen. If you don't speak to them nicely, they're going to speak to you, not going to listen to you. Very simple. Even with our children, when you rebuke someone, you say, that's not your normal way of behaving. Why are you behaving like this? It's not you. You're not like that. What happened to your behavior today? You know, it's always about the behavior, not the person's. And speak nicely and gently.
I remember somebody, he would always, with all the nurses, you'd yell at them, scream at them, with me, speak so nice and calmly. It's like he's a different person. And I wanted to give him some tochacha because he's Jewish, but I didn't know how to do it.
No, your idea is today we don't give tocha, we just praise. So what we do is we praise him for speaking so nice to you. I really like the way you spoke to me. You know, I wish you would speak to the nurses like that. So you do it in a nice way, like a praise. People listen to praise. Praise they love. So you praise a person. We work on that. That's how we do it in school. Motivation is through praise. Wow, you did it so nicely. Now let's see how you can do your behavior like that. Like you did your homework so nicely, maybe you can apply that to other things as well. So just praise one thing and then move on. That's what we have to do as well in our lives. Look for strong points and build on them. Because if we focus on our weak points, we're going to get so depressed. We're not going to do anything. So always try and focus on the strong. So you have a kid who's very good at math, but his English is terrible. So math is so good. You're a brilliant guy. Maybe you can work on the English now. Yeah. So always start with the praise. Okay. So the way a person speaks to others is very important. Balichato, the way a person walks. Who is the person who's going to go to Olam Haba? Anvatan Shval Berech. A person who is humility. Velo yalech b'kom hazchufa. He doesn't walk with his head upright, with his nose in the air. Lo chedu gadol ekev etzad gadol. He doesn't take very, very small steps because that's the way of pride. He walks like a person going on his business, on his journey. He walks like a person going on a business. This is what the rabbi said. Person who walks with his nose in the air is pushing God. How can he push God? And the answer is a proud person pushes God. What does that mean? Don't take it literally. You can't really push God. What it means is that Hashem is not really happy with that person. Bishifto, when a person sits. A person should sit among people who are humble, not among people who are boastful and pride. Okay, so again, the people you keep company with, you are who you keep company with. The peer pressure affects a person. A person says, you know, I move to the wealthy side of town, where everyone's stuck up. You go to a shul, some people are very stuck up in the shul. I don't know, some shuls. You know, we're very lucky over here, we're pretty grounded in our shul. But some shuls, you know, they won't associate with you. Who are you? Like, give me a look. Who are you? You go and talk to someone, they'll say, who are you? Why are you talking to me? Yeah? So, we should be keep away from these kind of people who are very stuck. It's interesting because they think that everyone wants to associate with them. They don't realize we're advised not to associate with them. People are stuck up, or people are nose in the air. So, if you're looking for a spouse, don't marry someone who has airs and graces. Try to keep someone, you know, down to earth, humble. Look for a family that's humble, the Shulchan Aruch says. A quiet family, not an argumentative family. You get a family that's argumentative, boy, you'll never finish. You'll always argue, argue, and argue. Okay. Al tedeh pnei melech, makom gdolim al tamo. Don't stand in places where there's a great people. Chen amru zal. Archeb mkomcha, shnayim ushlosha mkomo b'shev. Your station in life, you know where you are in life. Social station. Go down 2-3 steps. And that's where you should sit. It's interesting concept, right? Always try and stay low, below the radar. but just to stay below the radar. Okay, and that's what the pasuk says. Don't go up in case they'll tell you to go down. You know, that's famous story of Elazar ben Azariah, right? Elazar ben Azariah, they told him, he was a kid of, how old was he, 18 years old. And they told him, we want you to be the chief rabbi. And his wife tells him this high concept. They're going to make you the chief rabbi, and then one day they'll demote you. So don't go up. Why are you going to go up? They're going to put you down again. The same thing he says in life. The person puts on airs and airs and airs, eventually gets to the point where it goes to the head, and then again, they go down the ladder. They go down the chute. Okay, so there's no point putting on airs when eventually a person's going to go down again. It happens in life. It's like the worst feeling to know you climb the ladder, climb, and all of a sudden, before you know it, you lost your job, you lost your position, you're down and out. Okay. Okay, the maktina small, amruzal. Therefore, a person who makes himself small, call me shemaktina small divrei Torah ba'olam hazeh. Whoever makes him small in divrei Torah, naaseh gadol le'olam ba, becomes big in the next world. Whoever's small in this world, they make themselves small in this world, will become big in the next world. Kol mishu gadol ba'olam hazeh, katan ba'olam ba, and vice versa. Whoever's big in this world, big shot in this world, will be small in the next world. Okay, so it's interesting. So the concept is that a person puts on airs and graces in this world, thinks he's the greatest, and the next world is going to be upside down. He's going to be smaller. Suppose he thinks he's smaller this world, he'll be bigger the next one. It's a very interesting concept. Good. God chooses those. If you look at the story of King Saul, God says, Shmuel says, Shaul, you're going to be the king. What does he do? He goes hides. He's hiding among the vessels. All different commentaries what that means. But he tried to escape from being a king. He wanted to be a king. And Moshe Rabbeinu, 7 days, God has to argue with him. You're going to be the leader. I'm a leader. David HaMelech, he's the shepherd. He's with the sheep. King, I'm going to be the king. He's shepherd of the sheep. So it's very important to remain humble. It's so hard to remain humble. We see this with Shavuot, right? Which mountain got the Torah? The smallest. Har Sinai. Famous Midrash. Right, so all the mountains wanted to get the Torah. Har Carmel, the Hermon, tallest mountain, Hermon. And I said, I'll go for Mount Sinai. It's nice and quiet and peaceful and humble. It's the Mount Sinai one. And the same thing applies to people. Hashem likes the people who are humble. And they get more prophecy. Who gets the most prophecy? People who are humble. People who are egos, they can't get prophecy. Why? Because they're going to filter the prophecy goes through their ego. They twist everything around. It also applies to translators. It's so hard to be an honest translator. Because, you know, this guy's saying, you know, let's soup it up a bit. It happened to me once. It's such a temptation, boy. There was a rabbi from Israel visiting, and they asked me to translate. So I added things into his speech, you know, I was having fun. And he's looking at me like, did I really say that? It's so dangerous to be a translator. Huh?
He understood English.
You could see, like, I'm talking more than he's talking. Hey, what's going on over here? I souped it up a bit.
Targum Onkelos is longer than the Pasuk.
Yeah,
generally,
okay,
so.
Sometimes, yeah. But you soup it up a bit. So this is dangerous. So that's why the rabbis of old, they had what's called a Meturgaman. They had a translator over there. But it wasn't really a translator, it was more a broadcaster. Because the rabbis, they had weak voices. I mean, they had big classes, massive. I mean, Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 students. How is he going to address 24,000 students? So every rabbi had a professional loudspeaker. The job of the guy was to broadcast the words. So one guy had a very loud voice. He was called the Meturgaman. So the rabbi whispered in his ear. Imagine, don't hear the rabbi the talk. The rabbi whispers in his ear, and he's broadcasting it. Like a microphone. He's like a megaphone, this guy. So it's so dangerous because you whisper in his ear, but the rabbi would understand what he's saying. Hey, I didn't say that. I had to correct him. But a translator is much harder because translators, they expect to translate. So what's he saying? So dangerous. Words are lost in translation. So it's hard to be a good translator. Okay, so that's chapter 22. And we're talking about, so we're talking about being humble in speech, being humble in one's way of one's walking, be humble in the way one sits in life. one's place in life. Go down a few steps from your real place in life. And whoever makes themselves small, the Torah says they're going to be great in the next world. So something to look forward to. But says, you know, in this world, I'm keep away from honor. In the next world, what do we keep away from? It's going to come back. It says, whoever runs away from honor chases him.
Like the stipler.
Everyone. So one guy, he comes to the Rebbe, he says, Rebbe, all my life I'm running away from honor, but I don't see it. Where is it? It didn't chase me. He says, yeah, because you're always looking behind you. Where's the honor? So that's not really running away from honor. That's looking for the honor. Where's the honor? So it's good to be quiet. You know, I can't wait to go on vacation. I'd like to be, what's it called?
Under the radar.
Under the radar. It's so good to be under the radar. You can do what you want. You're under the radar and I was looking at you. It's so great. Okay, the second level. Sevilat ha'elbonot, which is so hard. To hear one's shame. No, literally. People are rebuking you and you listen, and that's also anava. What happens sometimes is, normally what happens is, when you insult someone, they give it to you. They lash out, right? But here, the idea is to listen to one's insult and keep quiet. To bear the insult. That's what the word savlanut came from. Savlanut comes from the word lisbol. What's lisbol? To bear. It's very hard. To have patience. It's so hard to have patience. Why? It feels like a load. I know, I'm not a very patient person. I've got to work on my patience. So, I'm not a doctor, what can I say? I don't have patience. But it's very hard. You have to work with your patience. You have to really, it's a labor. It's hard. You know, if you're a tutor, right? If you're a tutor and you have a kid who's really slow. You can't be a tutor. You can't be a teacher in school if you don't have patience. Ain't a kapdan, melamed.
I never realized how much patience I had until I had a slow student.
But
yeah.
Who do you teach?
I just
there's
the
a story in Gemara about.
Yeah, 400, how many times? 101 times.
Then he had to teach all of
them. Yeah, there's a story in the Gemara. The Gemara says there was a rabbi.
100 times.
And he had a student. And the student was very slow. Every day he had to repeat it 8 times. 8 times. One day the rabbi had a wedding to go to, and he's in a rush. He said it 8 times. The student didn't get it. He said it 16 times. Didn't get it. Kept on going. He says, "Why? How come this today you didn't get it?" He said, "I feel like you're in a rush, so my mind is not able to focus." It says he repeated 101 times. Mm-hmm. And in heaven, they were very impressed. The fact that he had the patience to repeat it over and over again. So it's very important to have patience. It's so hard to have patience. It's very hard to have patience. So that's also humility. Humility is bearing insults. The person hears the insult and they keep quiet. How many people do you know who could hear an insult and just... And that's a very high level. It's extremely high level, and it's kapara for one's sins. It's a tremendous kapara for one's sins. I had a case once when I was a kid. I'll never forget this. I was like 16, 17. I used to organize the rabbi's class. So I used to go around saying the class today is to tell people in the shul. So one day, one old man started screaming at me. He said, "Why did you tell me about the class today?" He started screaming publicly. He humiliated me, really humiliated me. I wouldn't tell. So I told him, I did. Honestly, I did. Must have forgotten. I did. So the rabbi afterwards said, "You should have just kept quiet. Bear it." It's a big kapara. It's so hard to do that. It's so hard to hear one's disgrace and keep quiet. And sometimes it's the best thing to do. Other times you have to fight for yourself. Otherwise, you can lose your job like that. People calling your names and this and that. Yeah. Supposed to be, you have to weigh the case. If it's something that doesn't make a difference and they get caught insulting you, and who cares? Who is this guy insulting me? So someone behind you is honking his horn. So just move out of the way, but don't get angry. And it's like, people with today's road rage is such a big thing today. Dangerous. Crazy. Okay, so it's important to bear one's disgrace. It's so hard. Someone insults you, but there's no one around and nothing happened, nothing can happen. It's okay. Smile and goodbye. That's it. You don't have to bear it. Just get out of the way. That's all. Don't have to reply. Don't reply. Just keep quiet. So Hashem. Who does Hashem bear their sin? In other words, Hashem sometimes, okay, the guy sins, and Hashem says, "Give me a chance. I'll give you a chance. Who does he give a chance to? To those who bear their disgrace and don't reply. Anilavim, Venamolvim. Those who hear their people calling them names and they don't reply. Shomim Herpatam Vena Meshivim. To those who hear their herpa, their shame, and they don't reply. So Hashem says, you don't reply to them, I'm gonna bear your sin as well. You bear other people's sins, I bear your sin. This is such a hard thing to do, but that is humility in practice. That's how you put humility into practice. And this is the key to a successful marriage. These things happen in marriage. People lose their temper, you know. Sometimes the wife loses her temper to the husband. I'm not saying what's more frequent. Sometimes the husband loses his temper to the wife. Sometimes they say things. So the other side has got to just shut up. If you start replying in the middle of the argument, it's just going to make it a fire. So what you do is you wait till the guy's calmed down. Then you say, why do you tell me that? I'm not so bad. You know, why do you do that to me? So you got to wait for the right moment. But if they both go at the same time, there's going to be either divorce or something worse. So it's very important
what's
to know.
What's worse than divorce?
Huh?
What's worse than divorce? Unless you're thinking murder.
Yeah. I didn't say it. You said it. Sometimes it's worse. Sometimes it's crazy. People today are crazy. You got to watch out. There's abuse and all sorts of things going on. So, bearing. It's interesting. A person's got to bear. A person bears it. That's savlan. A savlan is from the word sabal. Sabal is a person who is a porter on the docks. What's it called? What's the word for it? He's a porter.
Longshoreman.
A longshoreman. He's a sabal. In those days, they would... I mean, if you see the people today, in India or third world countries, they put things on their head. Yeah. The women put massive things on their head. That's a sabal. Can you imagine? They're bearing it. They're bearers. In India, they just call them bearers. Because they bear things on their head. So bearing someone else's... Someone else gives you a reply to you or insults you, and you're bearing it. It's so hard. But Hashem loves that. That's the kind of person Hashem loves. Sign of humility, you're bearing it. I'll bear your sins, because you're bearing the other guy's sins. Literally, you're bearing it. Sapru, Migodla Maratosha Baba Ben Buta. Now we come to a beautiful story. This is a fantastic story in the Gemara, one of my favorite stories, about a man called Baba Ben Buta. He was a very famous rabbi, Baba Ben Buta. And the Gemara says in Nidarim, Daf Samach Vav, there was a person from Babylon who married a girl from Israel. Now they have a language barrier. One speaks Aramaic, one speaks Hebrew. Imagine the husband and the wife. Language barrier. It's very complicated when the husband and wife don't speak the same language, you know? So what happens? It's very close language. It's very similar, but some words, they seem to be the same, but they're totally different. Nasib Itata, he married a wife. And he told her, Bashili li tre talpe. Go and cook for me 2 talfe. Zili tavre yaton al reshe de baba. And go and put them on the mantelpiece. So what happened is, he said, light 2 candles and put them on the mantelpiece. So she misunderstood, because the rabbi's name was Baba. Baba Ben Buta. And he said, put it on the head of the Baba. The Baba is like a... So she goes, and she takes the candlesticks, and she bangs it on the head of the rabbi. Bang. Azla v'tivrat yathon al reshay. She smashed it on his head. So the rabbi, look at the rabbi now. He keeps calm. Why did you do that to me? Now don't try that on me, because I'm not likely to not to reply so nicely. Amrano, my husband said so. She said, my husband said, put it on the head of the baba. So look what he tells her. Look at the rabbi, how he blessed her. You did your husband's will. Hashem will bring you 2 sons like me. Hashem should bless you to have 2 sons like me. Great rabbi. Okay. And that's what happened. She had 2 great sons. He blessed her. Instead of getting angry, imagine, sometimes the best thing to do, imagine. You want to get angry, and your own kid, and you scream at them and shout at them, but saying a word of blessing. Hashem should bless you, give you more brains, you won't trouble me anymore. Say, like the fiddle on the roof, right? God bless and keep the Tsar far away from us. But say in a way of blessing, say in a positive way. So instead of cursing and shouting and screaming in a negative way, bring it out, take it out in a positive way. Hashem should bless us to always have peace in this house. There's fighting in the house. Hashem should bless us. You can imagine the wife is screaming at the husband and he says, Hashem should bless you with long life. See nachat in your children. Have pleasure in your marriage. Huh? What? Where did that come from? So, you know, it's a way to calm people down. It's so hard to remember that, you know, times of trouble. But it's so important to remember. Hashem should bless people who, you know. So that's a kind of humility as well. And the famous Gemara about Hillel. Right, two guys make a bet. If they, one guy said, I can guarantee I'll make Hillel lose his temper. And they wagered 400 gold coins. Another guy says, you're not going to be able to make Hillel lose his temper. And it was Erev Shabbat, and the guy came over and over again with silly questions, stupid questions. And Hillel's taking a shower, he's coming out in his bathrobe, and he's going back in, coming back out. Never lost his temper. What's even more funny is he answered the door. I would not answer the door. You come once, come twice, goodbye, see you, I'm not going to answer the door. Okay, don't have to scream at the guy, but I'm not going to answer the door. It's so hard. But he kept opening the door and kept talking to him. And eventually the guy who said he can make Hillel lose his temper got angry himself. He started screaming at Hillel. Hillel, there should be no more rabbis like you in Israel. He says, why, my son? What have I done to you? He says, because of you, I lost 400 gold coins. He said, yeah, what happened? He told him the story. He says, better you lose 400 gold coins than I lose my temper. So that's, Hillel was the most, tzaddik, he was a humble person. Now we come to something very hard for me to talk about. Hatred of leadership positions. Brichat hakavod, and running away from honor. So the person said, you know, what make you the president of the synagogue? What make you? By the way, it's not an honor to be a president of the synagogue. Like no one treats you with honor, you get, like everyone gets complaints, you get complaints. With Jews, it's different. See, if you become prime minister of Israel, you think you're going to, big shot, right, Israel? Nah, they all hate your guts, no one likes you.
Everyone's threatening to leave your coalition unless you do everything.
It's crazy, and they're insulting, and this and that. Psh, horrible. But anyway, Pirkei Avot, chapter 1, Ehov et ha-melacha, sna et ha-rabanut. Hate, love work, and hate leadership positions. And that's why Yosef HaTzadik died first. Why did Yosef HaTzadik die first before all his brothers? He died at the age of 110. His youngest brother died because he was the leader. He had all the worries of state on top of his head. Furthermore, they said, a person who thinks he's the top rabbi, he is a crazy person. And the honor will run after him. The person could always ask advice. What do you think about this? What do you think about this? You know, even the greatest people should take advice. Like Rav Avad Yosef, he consulted. Look how he says, he consulted. He could have just come along with the halakha. No, yeah. This one said, this one said, this one said, this one said. He looks everywhere to clarify the halakha. Don't be quick to go into machloket. It's so hard. We all get burnt by this. It says with the argument of Korach, even little children died. His own children died. Little babies. Actually, they didn't, thank God. It's not Hashem pulled them out. But they could have died. Datan Aviram, the children died.
I thought 250 people, right?
Yeah, 250 people. We're talking about children.
No, that was the people that were bringing incense.
Yeah, I'm talking about the children.
At the gates of the
tent. It says in the machloket Korach, even the children died.
Does the Torah say that, or the Midrash?
Yeah, well, I mean, they say Tav.
It's the Gemara says
Tav.
Oh, yeah.
But Rashi Tav and Hashim says.
Tav and Hashim, but Pasuk brings down, you know, so.
So I'm confused.
Ocham, Rabbi Nehemanahamaya, Rishem, Rabbi Tanchum. A person who accepts princehood in order to have benefit from it. So in other words, a person can take leadership positions for its own sake. Oh, I want to help the community. That's fine. I want to be a leader so I can get rich quick at the back of other people. That's bad. So in those days, today we have law and order a little bit. You know, they'll catch the guy eventually. They'll put him on trial. You have today many people in Congress or in state government. They get caught taking bribes, taking this back, whatever. So that's what the Gemara is saying over here. And in those days, they never had people recourse. Who's going to catch them? He's the top guy. So the answer is, that's what the Gemara is talking about. God doesn't like a person who gets positions of leadership for the sake of himself. I want a position of leadership in order to make myself grand and to live off someone else's expense and to get myself rich quick. So instead of serving the people, he's serving himself. Woe to leadership positions that bury the owner. And where do you learn from Yosef? As I said before, by Joseph, he was the first one to die. Klalo Sheldava, this is a general rule. Leadership positions are a big burden on the back of those who hold them. Because when a person is among the regular people, he's only responsible for his own affairs. There's another reason why. Once he gets to a higher level, he's held responsible for other people around. So whoever he can change and alter, he doesn't, responsible for. Whoever he can rebuke and he doesn't, responsible for. Well, that's really a parent. A parent also. A parent's responsible for his children. That's one of the things, 24 things you can't, it's very hard to do teshuva from. A parent never rebuke their child. A parent sees their children doing bad things, doesn't tell them off. Which is very common today. So the parents get... Only if the child's going to listen. You know, the child's the age he can listen. He didn't tell him. And now it's too late. It's too late.
But huh?
What?
Positive, right?
What? Yeah, I'm talking about positive. Positive rebuke. Positive rebuke is in a positive way. Because negative rebuke doesn't work. You ruin the person. You ruin their self-esteem. You're bad. Oh, I'm bad. Okay, good back. There's no hope for me. You can say, I like you very much, and you're very good at this, you're very good at that. Just improve this as well. If you can only improve your behavior, it'll be terrific. Vakavod enu ele hevel havalim. Honor is vanity of vanities. How do people run after honor? Which turns a person against God and makes him forget his obligations. And a person who knows this person is going to definitely not like them. If he sees this person, all he cares about is honor. But Yilol Hashehalu B'nei Adam, you are love L'Torah. And really, when they praise that person, they're not really praising that person. They hate that person. They're just praising him because he needs honor. So they give him honor. Achelo Dailo Ra'ato Haserot Memenu Hama'alot Ha'em. And eventually he'll lose all his glory. So people will just tell him lies to what's called flatter the guy. That's not really true. Okay, now let's just recap a little bit. So we talked about humility in one's head. That was the first thing we talked about last week. Today we talked about humility in action. We talked about humility in speech. Humility the way a person walks. Humility where a person sits in terms of the social station in life. We talked about the next part, which is bearing not to bear grudges and bearing insults. As we talked about, that's another kind of humility. We talked about this Rabbi Baba Ben Butta, who the woman knocked him on the head, and he asked her why, and she said, "Because my husband told me to do so." So he blessed her, and he said, "Your children should be like me." You have to. We talked about hatred of leadership positions. Women in those days would just say, we'll follow with their husbands. Yeah. Today, not so much. Today, they'd say the husband's wrong. In those days, they wouldn't ask questions. The husband says this, that's it. He's the lord of the manor. You know. He's the boss.
Why she praised for,
So he could have really got angry. He did. We're praising him. We're not praising the woman. We're praising him because he praised her for she listening to her husband. She was listening to her husband. So something good, right? He wants to encourage her. She's newly married. He wants to encourage her to listen to her husband. So instead of getting angry and saying, "Why do you do that?" and the husband doesn't know yet, he'd wreck the marriage. He would wreck the marriage. So he praised her for listening to her husband, which is amazing. Yeah, that's Haman's spin on Ahasuerus getting rid of his wife. That's how he spun it.
It was funny because Zeresh was kind of the puppet master to Haman. She was the brain.
Well, that's, you know, the rabbi said in the Gemara Megillah, it says, if it wasn't for the first decree, which was such a silly decree that the women have to listen to their husbands, everyone knows that, in those days at least. So the second decree, they would listen to it. If it wasn't for the first decree being so silly, they'd say, "Oh, this man just makes silly decrees, now kill all the Jews. First, the woman has got to listen to her husband, now kill all the Jews." Like, it's like a continuation of the foolishness. So if it wasn't for that such a foolish decree, they would have probably killed the Jews. That's what it says. So thank God for the first decree, because it made him look like an idiot. It made Haman look like an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about, this guy, and the king is also confused. Like, even, so the Quran says, even the smallest carpenter in the smallest town knew that a woman has to listen to her husband. You've got to tell everyone. Those are the good old days. Okay. Today's the other way around. The men have to listen to their wives. What?
Because men have lowered in their responsibility, their voltage.
Yeah.
Voltage.
Voltage. You could put it nicely. Voltage. Right. What happened is today that women are more independent because they're self-sufficient, basically. In those days, women were not self-sufficient. Woman was employed at home. She would spin the wool, and she'd, that was basically the trade of the woman. And everything she did was for her husband. Right? So he was the boss. And until very recently, the men would go to work and the women would be at home. So the housekeeping money came from him. So he'd tell her what, how much to spend, and he'd tell her what to do, he'd tell her what, you know, what to cook, or what this. Today, she's not independent. I don't need the guy, you know. Especially if he makes less than me, you know. So most women today are independent. They have college education, they're pretty qualified themselves, so. Okay. So the fourth section of this section of humility is treating other people with respect or honor. Ezu Michubad, who is honorable, this is coming up in the Pirkei Avot this week, fourth chapter. Who is honorable? A person who gives others honor. Amru Od, a rabbi said. Even if you know this person knows more than him in one area, you have to give him honor. Person has got to give, say hello to everyone before they say hello to you, just like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. It says no one ever said hello to him first. He was, even a non-Jew in the marketplace. I mean, some people are just like me. I'm just very shy. It's very hard to go up to someone in the street and say hi. Another guy from, you know. And one time, everyone would say hello. You know, you pass someone on the street, and you say hi, good night, good evening. Today, it's not so common, so they might think you're crazy. They might think you're, you know, who knows what you're after. They may call the cops, you know, this guy's saying hello to me, you know. It's like a shock, someone saying. At Highland Park, not so much. People do still do say hello, you know. So that's giving honor to someone. By saying hello to someone, you're acknowledging their presence. Whether it's by speech and by actions, a person's going to give honor to people. And we see this week is the Omer. 24,000 students Rabbi Akiva had, they never gave enough honor to each other. That's why we're growing your beard. Why to learn to give honor? Because they never gave honor to each other. So what do you mean they didn't honor each other? So because it says they didn't respect each other's words. In other words, this guy's learning, that guy's learning. I know more than you, you don't. And the other guy says, I know more than you. They didn't respect each other's words of Torah. They didn't give honor to what they're learning. And they're going to be the future rabbis of Israel. Imagine, the future rabbis of Israel don't respect each other. Oh, yeah. I'm going to finish off with this paragraph. Humility removes from a person many pitfalls and brings a person closer to good things. A person who's humble will not be jealous about vanity. Furthermore, his peer pressure will be good. And people will like him. So a person's humble, people like. Right? And also, a person humble will not get to anger, will not cause fights. He'll do everything quietly and with peace. Ashrei mi shezocheh lemida zu. Praise the person who gets this trait. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen, amen.